Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Ruthless Aggression is back. We figured there's nothing else that we would rather be doing on a Sunday night than sitting here and talking with you about pro wrestling. What's that, Bears, Packers? No. We're good. I'm Pierce, joined by Rob and Chris. It was an interesting week in professional wrestling. A lot of things happened. Some of them unfortunate. We won't really tap too much into, you know, the Jeff Hardy situation. As sad as it is, we just hope he gets help and, you know, that's really all we can really ask for. But it was an eventful week, and we are seeing a nice gradual build towards the next pay-per-view, January 1st, day one in Atlanta. So what are you guys thinking of the build, man? I see some, obviously you're getting Brock and Roman. Raw's main event title scene is a little bit interesting because you got like a quadrumvirate. Is that a word?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really? It is? No shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, you have that going on. I think the women's title scenes have been pretty interesting. What say y'all?
Yeah, I mean, I do kind of like the build. You know, they have four matches announced right now. It sounds like Lashley's going to get added to the Raw match, which I'm fine with
yeah, that too.
That's awesome. Yeah, that'll be a really good match.
Fatal four-way for that? Hell yeah. Give it to
me. You know, I was hoping that Roman and Brock would be at the Rumble. It still might. You know, but that's just because I'm going to be at the Rumble. I mean, if it's not, you know, Brock might win, which is even better. He might win the Rumble, which, you know, I'm cool with. Usos and New Day, I think the build's been good for that. I like the match they did the other day with them and RK-Bro. Mm-hmm. And then Edge and Miz, which, you know, Edge came back, I think, last week was when he came back, or was it 2 weeks ago? I think it's been 2 weeks.
It was two episodes ago.
Yes. So
13 days ago.
I mean, that match should be good. And then it seems pretty clear they're going to do Edge and Beth against Miz and Maryse, which will be fun.
Yeah, because I mean, Beth, of course, had her final broadcast as a commentator at War Games last week.
Mm-hmm. War Games!
But let's be real. She's not leaving to focus on her family. I mean, she probably is, but she's also going to be trained.
Yeah.
So there's a sprinkle of truth, but it's still absence.
Yeah. So I don't know if they stretch that to Mania or if they just do it at the Rumble, but either way, it should be a good match.
I can see them stretching it. That definitely is that's a Mania match to me.
But no, I do like the build because, you know, like they had this little mini feud with Becky and Liv and they could run it back with how they ended it.
They will.
It looks like Charlotte and Tony will either be at day one or they'll do it one of the next 2 weeks in Rosemont just to have a big match.
Yeah. I could see them doing a big match on Christmas Eve.
Yeah. Because, you know, they're in Rosemont this week and then they're taping next week because it's Christmas Eve. So two shows in Rosemont in a row.
Mm-hmm. So there's nothing then on New Year's Eve then. Or is there? I don't remember if they canceled the show. They might have canceled SmackDown.
Yeah, I don't know. Wait, if they're
like taping two episodes on the same night or two episodes back to back nights.
No, they're both on the 17th. They're doing the live one, and then they're doing the next one right after.
They had done.
I thought you were saying they were going to stay in Chicago for another day and do.
I didn't see
that.
Yeah, they're doing back to back.
They did a similar thing 2 years ago.
So we get to see the big dog in Chicago, LA, and good enough for Roman.
I believe this is the first time Roman's been there, unless he did the dark match
in Chicago
after Raw. Well, I should say since, you know, the pandemic quote unquote.
Yeah.
They brought fans back is what I should say.
Yeah, because this is the first SmackDown there.
This is the first.
They did Raw, but they haven't done SmackDown in Chicago.
Yeah.
Since before Survivor Series, if I recall correctly. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think they ran that building.
No, they didn't because they had Raw.
January and March, right? Yeah. That's right. They did Raw.
But yeah, no, I've liked the build so far. You know, and we have, like I said, four matches already. They'll add a couple more and, you know, maybe something with Damian Priest or Shinsuke as well, because, you know, neither of them really have defended. Well, Priest does. He's got the
Priest
open challenge, but Shinsuke hasn't defended that title in a while, so maybe do something there. But yes, I do like the bill. I think it's nice kind of to slow down a little bit. And the build to the Rumble, you know, they're going to have almost a full month too. You know, probably 4 full weeks to build, just kind of thinking of dates here. So yeah, it's good stuff. I kind of like having the longer builds to pay-per-views.
Yeah. I've been really, in all actuality, since I want to say, I would probably say after Queen's Crown, up until now, I would say, and especially in the lead up to Survivor Series and everything after that, I've been really impressed with what they've done with the women.
Yeah,
I will. You know, I was getting a little fearful. Things were pretty bleak in September and October. I think that was probably some of their worst stuff that they've done in a while, mm-hmm. in terms of just how much potential that they had and how they were just kind of either going through the motions or not doing anything at all. But they've really reined themselves in. And this week, especially, both Liv and Tony got big matches on TV. I think for what they were, I think I liked Tony and Charlotte's match because I think they got to from point A to B a lot smoother than Liv and Becky did in their match. I think, you know, they're absent chemistry, but that makes sense because they don't work on house show loops together. If they work at all, they've probably just been quietly training, if they have been at all. But obviously it takes more time than that to build that up. So they'll get there. But even the non-title stuff, I've liked the Naomi and Sonya stuff a little bit more, especially since there seems to be some meaning behind it. I liked having Xia Li debut as the protector and protecting Naomi. Mm-hmm. That was fun. That adds a nice little element. Xia will probably beat Natalya, so that'll be cool.
Yeah.
And on Raw, I really liked Bianca Doudrop this week. I like the finish also because I think it's definitely setting up for something to happen at day one between those two. I think Bianca
Bianca picking her up and
exactly. Yes. And I think Bianca is definitely going to be on that show. She's in the advertisement. She hasn't missed a pay-per-view, I believe, since Survivor Series of last year. Mm-hmm. I would expect that streak to continue. So yeah. And I think she's got enough power and, you know, in her name and brand at this point where she's not going to miss these shows.
Yeah.
They're going to find excuses to put them on the show. Mm-hmm. That's how you know you've made it.
Yeah. The New Year's Eve SmackDown is just a year in review, by the way.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. So everyone gets a nice little...
Yeah, a couple nice weeks little, off.
Yeah, a couple weeks off. So that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I do. I kind of like what they're doing right now. I think Raw has been getting better. And... yeah, it's good stuff, man. Like I said, and I'm excited for the build to the Rumble, you know, going to be there. So we're looking forward to that and kind of looking forward to starting to see what kind of matches we're going to get there.
Yeah, as far as like early Rumble winning candidates, you mentioned Brock. Is there anybody else that you guys are seeing might win?
You know, I've said AJ a couple times. I know they have to start building him up a little bit. I think
Riddle, he'll be in the Rumble, but Omos is going to eliminate.
Yeah,
because AJ is going to try and eliminate Omos, and he's not going to take kind. They've started to sow the seeds on that, by the way.
Yeah. You know, Riddle, I wouldn't be happy if he won, obviously, but he's a guy that's been protected. I think you could pencil Randy Orton in for the Final Four just because of where it's at.
Yeah.
Talk about dudes that are protected right now. What about Damian Priest?
That's not a bad choice.
That's not a bad choice either. I mean, he's...
I saw something like he hasn't taken a loss since
he got called up.
Yeah, because he hasn't. The last time that he lost a match was that match against Miz and Morrison, the handicap one, where he got rolled up.
Mm-hmm.
But he hasn't lost a one-on-one match since before WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And he's been on TV enough where that's, you know, a legitimate statistic that you can write off.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting, you know, for Raw, because like a lot of their main eventers are going to be in the one title match. I mean, they could come back and win the Rumble, you know, obviously, but like it's probably not going to be Owens.
Is Owens even going to be in the Rumble?
And I,
Rumble itself.
If I had to guess, the actual like match at the Rumble is going to be Big E against Seth. So it probably won't be Seth. So, you know, Lashley could win it. I mean, he's always a guy that's credible. He's never won it.
That's true. He's definitely one of the monsters in the Rumble.
Yeah.
They will have him and Omos be the monster.
As far as SmackDown, like, it gets harder. It's after
Drew,
Brock.
And then that's it.
Yeah,
I mean, just be honest. It's just Drew, and that's it.
And then
that's the only candidate
for the women. I'm still sticking with Bayley. I mean, I think it could be, you know, it could be Bianca. She could win it again. I wouldn't have a problem with that. But yeah, I'm just going to stick with Bayley until she's not there.
It's actually funny you bring up Bayley. Yesterday she was doing an Instagram live because she was trying to fundraise for the Giving Tree, which is an organization out in the Bay Area that mm-hmm. helps buy toys for needy children at this time of year. And what people were saying, I wasn't watching at the time. I was occupied with college basketball and a couple other responsibilities, but some people in the Bayley fandom have pointed out that she said that her injury was not an ACL injury. So Rob, you might be onto something with Bayley as the pick.
So what was it then?
It was just,
and what's the timeline?
That's the thing. Yeah, mm-hmm. that's the thing. Because and she had said that she's not going to let anyone know that. Obviously, she's going to say that she's going to, and that she'll be, you know, back when we least expect it. Mm-hmm. So,
oh God, she's going to pull John Cena. Chris, she was at the Niner game. What was it, last week?
She was at the one when they played the Packers, but she did some YouTube stuff.
I thought I saw
a video of her. She did a YouTube feature for them.
Yeah, because I think last week they were in Seattle.
Yeah, last week they were in Seattle.
The week before that she was there, I believe. Okay. Because they have like a Spotify playlist for her and stuff.
Yeah, it's
pretty cool.
Well, yeah, because she had filmed all that stuff the week of the Niners-Packers game, because some friends of mine had pointed out that she was there, you know, for stuff. She had posted on her Instagram live that she was there as well. And then she was at the Niner Pack game. When I first saw that, I thought she was just going to be doing some kind of tie-in or whatever with that game, since it's on an NBC Universal network, that she'd announced the Rumble was going to San Francisco or something like that. So that was when that first came out. I didn't realize it was just, you know, fun YouTube content or what have you.
Yeah, it's been pretty cool though.
Yeah.
Glad to see her staying in the news.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. So keep that in mind. We'll see. I'm not going to get my hopes up, but we'll see.
Lord, fam. We had final nights in NXT this week for two beloved superstars, Kyle O'Reilly and Johnny Gargano. Both of their contracts are up. There's been no indication right now that either of them have re-signed or have signed anywhere else. So we are just left to speculate. So then I think it's clear Kyle's not coming back. Kyle's going to go join his friends.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Johnny's good wherever he does. Like, obviously, if he goes to AEW, he's going to be one of those top stars. You know,
yeah.
I think the thing about Johnny is, like, he has such a grasp on the fans. And ability to generate sympathy, he's going to be a white meat babyface wherever he goes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and his time with the Way showed that he can play some heel. You know, he can be that guy as well if you want him to, that kind of comedic heel. So if he stays, if he goes, whatever he does, he's gonna be perfectly fine. I do think if he is leaving, why the fuck y'all have him get his ass beat on his way out?
Yeah,
that was a little strange. Yeah, that was a little strange. I can understand Kyle because they want to put over Wagner, but I was a little confused about Gargano.
After he was like, yeah, HBK said I could stay out here for as long as I want. Nope, overrun. Mm-hmm. Got to cut the black. Get your ass out of there.
And I mean, that it's just weird. It's just me personally too. Like, and I get they're trying to get Grayson Waller over, but I don't think he's that guy.
You're not that guy, pal.
Yeah.
You over here doing fucking NBA Live 05 slam dunk contest moves off the top of the cage and shit. Like, bro, nobody wants to see that shit in your fucking N1 shorts. You are not that guy, pal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of, what y'all think about that pay-per-view? War Games I thought was very, very mid.
The War Games matches were great. Everything else I could have skipped. I liked both matches.
Yeah, I think, you know, the women's one was.
I liked the women's one more than the men.
Okay, well,
fair. I did too, but I didn't really care much for the men's one.
I can understand. My thing with the women's one is that I think in ring they told a great story.
It's fair.
I think with the men, you know, it was definitely there, but also I never had the result in doubt either. I knew that Team 2.0 was winning the entire
time. And I think
it was just a matter of who was getting the pin.
I think the right person won both of them.
Agree.
You know,
agree entirely.
Getting Cora Jade over. I don't know that it's necessarily time for her to face Mandy Rose. It looks like that's what they're going for.
Nah, not yet, but
he's something.
Yeah,
it's gonna happen. That's right. Fair.
But I mean, you know, Bron Breakker's clearly ready. And I mean,
and even if they did with Cora, they're gonna dangle that carrot.
Yeah.
Cause she's got, you know, sympathetic babyface written all over
her. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, the Hair Every Fair match was whatever.
It was always gonna be, you know, more about what happened after than the match itself, because you can't say it. You can't ever, because what do we talk about when we talk about Kurt, when we talked about Kurt Angle versus Edge?
Yeah.
Hair versus hair at a Judgment Day when we did that show.
That's true.
Of Kurt getting shaved. And then you talk about him coming out with the protective headgear, which mm-hmm. Duke Hudson also did this past week. Talk about what happens after with the hair versus hair, not the match itself.
I
don't know if there's ever been a great hair versus hair match, technically speaking.
I thought the tag match was very good.
Yes,
I think Imperium is awesome.
Yes. Yes, agreed. 100%. You
know, and then the other match was
it was Roddy versus Gacy, which I think Roddy did well. I mean, well, that's Roddy's
strong. Roddy's he's facing Bron Breakker this week. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, that's gonna be a
hot ass match. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. I for me, you know, it just wasn't the War Games match that I'm used to, different kind of pacing. Maybe it's, you know, because of the young guys were in there. Mm-hmm. Bron, you ain't got to worry about Carmelo, you know.
He's going to be fine.
Carmelo's got some upside, so I ain't really too much worried about him. The other two dudes are your projects. And maybe that's not the match that you want to throw your projects into. I understand it for the story, but it just wasn't the match for me. The women's match was really good. And I like that Cora Jade is getting the rub over the other three women in that group, because she's young enough where you can start working to build her now to when she's ready for that strap, she's ready to beat whoever's champion. You know, you got yourself a really solid baby face. Like she's literally a baby. She's like 21.
Mm-hmm.
She looks every bit of 21. So like you can, you know, get her this win. She had a nice performance and then just kind of cruise. I think they need to get Raquel off of NXT.
Yes.
They need to get a few people off of NXT, and yeah, so few.
Yeah, I would agree.
Why EO's still there.
Yeah, and that's the thing too, like kind of the overall point with NXT. Like I know you need some veterans there, but if you are going to do this developmental thing, it is kind of strange to still have these like longtime future people.
To leave your best assets in NXT.
Yeah,
when they could be doing much more on the Federation.
I know where you're going with this, and I agree with you. I just wanted to make a point. Keep going.
Well, I think the thing is, you know, if you're going to insist on running that building, which they are, I mean, they're committed to it, right or wrong. Like those fans aren't going to boo the original people, and you're trying to get these new people over, and it's just going to be difficult. Mm-hmm. And you know, I don't know what the solution is.
I know what the solution is.
Oh my God.
Go to a different building, I guess, but.
Well, you know. What the solution should be is to extract the veterans, because the thing about the veterans is, they exist and you need people who can, you know, train or whatever and make people better. I get that. But when the first run of NXT was going on, when it first got to the network and when it created all that buzz and that edge, they did sometimes have people, you know, go down there for a little bit, but that's the key phrase, for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
There's no need for me to remember Io Shirai showing up at War Games 2018 to do a moonsault and for her to still be there 3 years later. There just isn't. I mean, and that's an indictment on the system and how things went. I get that COVID happened and whatnot, and that put a kibosh on a lot of things, but like they got away from themselves, and there's still trickle down, and it's, you know, in the women's division too. I think by this point they have enough talented women to be able to sustain without the likes of Io or Dakota Kai or Raquel or can you name anyone else off the top of your head? I mean, even Casey and Kaden don't need to be there anymore. Mm-hmm. I remember them being around 2 years ago. Casey was in the 2019 Rumble. It's gonna be 3 years since then. If she still needs it?
I'm not looking at it on longevity purposes. I'm looking at it like, do I think you're ready? I don't really think they're ready.
That's... I mean, they've brought up people who are colder than her, wearing greener than goose shit.
That's true.
So, I mean, they've called
it work.
Who's to say? Because honestly, you could argue that the women's division up there needs Casey's and Cadence. They need people to take pins. They also need natural tag teams.
Fair and tag fair.
Neither of those people you can look at and say, "Oh, they're gonna they can be a women's champion someday." No, oh
God, I want. They just Matt have a ceiling as a tag team.
Yeah,
like that's they could use people like that. I mean, they brought up Braun cold. He turned out fine. That's they brought true. Up Elias cold. I mean, you can say whatever you want about that. But I mean, they've brought up colder people. Like, just you can't have people stick around for that long, and you know, because it just creates a logjam, and then it creates a okay, what are we doing here? They need to get them shuttled away because you're wasting these people's times.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Because even someone like at this point, if you're not going to run outside of Florida. Why is Io Shirai performing in front of 150 people in a performance center?
So disrespectful. Come on. When you're when you're probably the fifth or sixth best female wrestler in the company, the entire company, why the fuck am I still here doing this?
Yeah, exactly.
Trying to get other girls over. Do right by me. And they haven't done right by Io Shirai. Same as they haven't done right by, to bring it back around, Gargano and Kyle O'Reilly. And that's the thing, man. If they don't see value in these folks while they have them and while they're hot, it's gonna be scary for them. It really is. You know, they're gonna thrive wherever they go. Like, that's fine. That's perfect. It's just crazy to me how much talent they've been losing. You know, I'm sitting here watching the War Games match from Chicago. I haven't watched it back since I originally went to it. God, I'm so glad we don't have to suffer through the Moro Ronaldo days. But it just, I'm sitting here like, yo, they had all of Undisputed Era and three-fourths of them are gone.
Yeah, that's really like, the crazy part.
How do you have a group that cool and then you don't do shit with them? It's incredible how much they fucked really such a fantastic era of pro wrestling up. And that's not to be on some, oh, you know, AEW is going to smash them up and be great. Nah, nah, nah. No, this is simply just the critique of how WWE has done by their superstars. And that can extend to the main roster and some of the folks that they never gave a shot on the main roster. And now they're cut, Keith Lee being one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But they're really struggling to figure out how to use these folks that they didn't develop. And maybe that's why they've gone out and gone. I gotten all these college folks so they can train them how to be pro wrestlers the quote unquote right way or their way. And maybe it's going to work out seeing their track record. But some of the folks that have established their names elsewhere that have that kind of following that they've just done shit with outside of NXT, that's a problem for me.
Yeah.
Well, and it also doesn't, I don't think that it also helps that you have a guy like Gargano and a guy like Ciampa who even pre-neck injury, they didn't want anything to do with going up there because they were scared. Because they were worried that,
they
you know,
were scared and they were comfortable because NXT was riding hot.
Yeah, exactly. But, and it's like, I get that, but at the same time, you gotta take the risk. Like, the risk can outweigh the reward. And it's like, and also that behavior was obviously fostered for a while because they weren't the only two people who were like that. I mean, I'm sure that most people down there, you know, had that thought or whatnot. And the discussions online don't help that either, because I'm sure that 90% of them at least all are tapped in somehow to the online discourse. They know what everyone says. They see everything. So it's, and also like, you know, the way that they were operating the show didn't help either because they kept people on for too long. Like, even just in Shayna's case, why did she need to be there after Evolution last year? There's no reason for that. Yeah. She could have just lost to Kairi and they could have just went on their merry little way. But instead, Shayna was there still until after the Royal Rumble in 2020.
Yeah.
Like, what is the purpose of that? 15 additional months tacked on. And like, yeah. You did pay it off with the Rhea thing, but at the same time, it's like You could have gotten her away from that a long time ago. You had enough on your roster at that point.
Hell, you could have, you maybe could have established Bianca in Brooklyn. Or who else was in the match? Was her Kyrie and
was her Kyrie
Tony Storm was the third?
Yeah. Io was in it.
Yeah.
That's right. That's right. When Io
was Io. Yeah.
Baby face dash. Yeah, you could have just put the belt on Bianca then and kind of submitted the turn to where you wanted to go with, you know, the NXT Women's Division, but you didn't. And then you had that long for no goddamn reason run from Shayna. Yeah, I just they haven't been good at knowing when to call folks up, knowing what to do with them when they're called up.
And knowing when to let go, too. Like,
and knowing when to let go of situations and to cut bait. You know, exactly. I think the only outlier would be Cross, but you know, that wasn't because he sucked. That was a different circumstance.
He was kind of doomed anyway.
Yeah, you know.
Oh no, Robert Quinn just did a double check after he got a sack.
Oh god.
Oh, they're gonna lose by 30 now. So
yeah,
that's okay.
He's going to own us. anything else in the today's world of wrestling that we gotta talk about?
No, not really. I mean, you know, I'm looking forward to Hangman against Danielson. I think it'll be a fun match. Hangman's gonna win, but yeah, no, I'm looking forward to it though. I mean, the rest of that show kind of looks okay. I think Sheeta and Serena Deeb will be okay, but I don't know if they're gonna have a big surprise like when they had Sting come in last year or what the deal is. But
I mean,
they have two guys they could bring in.
I think one is far more likely than the other.
Yeah,
that being Kyle. I think Gargano is going to be off on the bench for at least 3 months.
Yeah, I would agree. I think
he's waiting until quarter two of 2022, in my opinion. I could very easily. I mean, is there a spot for Kyle on that show to show up?
I mean, based on what they've announced so far, not really. But obviously, you know,
there's more to announce. So I think obviously you should probably wave the flag and sound the alarm if you see anything with Cole or Fish or anyone in the Elite. Really, I mean, that feels like just a big like, hey, that could be where be where this, or even even like. I guess even for the TNT title also.
Yeah.
I don't think you bring him in to be buddies with him though. Like,
I think you're going to do it at first.
I swear to God,
but
I hope.
Not. Yeah. I don't know how long it's going to like go on.
It better be smart to realize that the encore never goes as well as the first performance.
And 100%, but I wouldn't
cannot recapture that magic.
And 100%. And I wasn't even thinking about it in that regard. I'm just like, that was one of the bigger feuds of, you know, the independent scene or ROH, which, by the way, rest in peace, ROH.
Yes.
Was Cole and O'Reilly. And they've been buddies for so long. We finally got to see the rivalry again towards the end of Cole's run. You know, I bring them in, let them be chummy. Maybe it makes sense. I mean, maybe the AEW crowd doesn't give a shit about what happened on NXT television. Who cares for them, maybe? And then you can do a turn and then, like, kickstart feuds and Kyle O'Reilly and his side, whatever, versus the Elite. That would be pretty interesting. But, yeah, Kyle's going to go there. I think Kyle's going to be great in AEW. AEW is becoming, you know, kind of the haven for smaller guys who can work their ass off and just have great matches. They don't really have a lot of big bruiser type of dudes. And you know, we saw Adam Scher, the Titan, FKA Braun Strowman, pop up on Ring of Honor last night. I actually thought he looked terrific.
Yeah,
I might be the first person to say that, but I thought Braun looked terrific last night. I don't know if he would go to AEW, but I think he's what they're missing right now, in my opinion.
Yeah, because I mean, you know, they have Wardlow, who's pretty big, and then like their other big guy is Billy Gunn, who like isn't a featured player or whatever.
Billy Gunn is a big guy
compared to the rest of the roster, but yeah, he's a big dude though. I don't
that's like saying DeMar DeRozan is a power forward.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, no, looking forward to that. I think that's about it. Did you see Hook? Hook's pretty good.
I don't get it.
That's fair.
I mean, the Action Bronson thing was pretty cool, but I don't get it.
Yeah.
Speaking of Team Taz, push Powerhouse Hobbs already.
Yes. What are you waiting for? That's a big guy.
Goddamn.
Yeah, you need some black folk to push. Put Powerhouse Hobbs.
Yeah.
You know, I'm dead ass. It's him and Jade. Those are the only two folks that really even look like they're capable of carrying that company right now.
Yeah.
So.
That's fair.
Let's go back to the year 2005. We got a couple weeks of shows to get to on our way to Armageddon.
We do.
Yes, we do.
Can get that going here.
Yeah, we shall. So this top five songs in America really have not changed at all whatsoever. In fact, they remain the same all through 1 through 5.
Yes.
That would be Photograph by Nickelback, Soul Survivor by Young Jeezy and Akon, My Humps by the Black Eyed Peas, Gold Digger by Kanye and Jamie Foxx, and Run It by Chris Brown. Moving on to the movies. Number five movie in America was Rent, which made $12.1 million. Number four was Chicken Little, which made 13.8. Number three was Yours, Mine, and Ours, which made 19.3 million. Don't remember that movie at all.
Mm-hmm. Is that Dennis Quaid?
It
was a movie where like the two folks who, it's kind of like Cheaper by the Dozen, I think.
Yes.
But not Cheaper by the Dozen.
It's yeah, Dennis Quaid and Rene Russo.
Yep, that's it.
Yep.
I don't know why I was going to say Diane Keaton, but yeah, Rene Russo, that's right.
Okay, number two was Walk the Line, which made $23.9 million. And the number one movie in America.
Rene Russo's a hottie.
Yep, and the number one movie in America, once again, making $63.1 million, was Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
So yep.
No real changes there either, to be honest. Yours, Mine, and Ours did jump from 8 to 3. I'm guessing it was from a limited release to a full release.
Yeah, probably.
Makes sense. We do have some news. Ric Flair was involved in a road rage incident. WCOCTV.com reported Monday that Ric Flair faced assault charges after a road rage incident on I-485 in Charlotte during the Thanksgiving weekend. Another driver said he was flashing his high beams at him from behind, so he pulled over. At that point, driver said Flair got out of his car, grabbed him by the neck, and damaged his car. Police said two warrants were out for his arrest. WWE.com acknowledged the situation on Monday night. He did not appear. Rather, he was selling the injuries that he suffered at the hands of Triple H the previous night at Survivor Series.
I'm pretty sure that whole interaction with Ric Flair and the police was something like, "Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am?
Yeah.
I'm a Hall of Fame wrestling person." Just a little something like that, maybe.
It also gets much worse when they bring it into the company, which we'll talk about.
We will. Also, AJ Pierzynski of the Chicago White Sox will appear at the Impact taping on November 29th. Pierzynski, who is a wrestling fan, is expected to be involved in an angle with AJ Styles, Chris Sabin, and Sanjay Dutt. Former wrestler Dale Torborg is expected to be involved in the angle as well. His involvement will air on the Thursday, December 8th edition of Impact as part of TNA's one-hour non-special replacement show. I believe it was called Base Brawl or something ridiculous like that.
Yeah, it gets better when Pac-Man shows up.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, Pac-Man was actually good. D'Angelo Williams is actually very really good.
Yes. He was very good. Yeah, D'Angelo Williams could work.
And he said he was going to go back, and then he never did. It was kind of a bummer. In our Monday Night Football game, the Colts improved to 11-0 when they defeated the Steelers 26-7. A matchup we'll see again in a couple months, which is very funny. Mike Vanderjagt appeared to have...
That kicker got 5 made field goals. Not an idiot that night.
Yes, Marvin Harrison had a...
Whoops.
Oh, relax, man. Relax.
Also, someone named Brian Fletcher scored a touchdown.
Yeah, I don't know.
Never heard of Brian Colts? Fletcher in my life. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember him. Vaguely. I probably haven't heard that name since Madden 06, but yeah.
Apparently, he's from St. Louis and went to UCLA. He was drafted by the Bears in the 6th round of the 2002 NFL draft.
Huh.
Interesting. Is Austin Collie there yet?
He's not there until, I believe, 09.
Oh, damn.
Right now, got, I believe the Colts have, let's see, they have Harrison, Fletcher, Clark, and Stokely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, Brandon Stokely, that's right.
And James Mungrow.
Yes.
Throwback.
So Raw is from Cleveland. Eric Bischoff's in the
ring. It's funny we're talking about that, and I'm literally watching a dude who played in the NFL at the same time that James Mungrow was on that team walk off of the field. Oh, God.
Eric's going to call the entire roster out to the ring, but he has something he needs to say first. Every one of them let Raw down at Survivor Series. Failure will not be tolerated. He calls them out, but they don't come, so he's going to go backstage and fire the first person he sees. But before he can get backstage, Vince comes out. Vince kind of begs Bischoff not to fire him, and then says that Bischoff's not actually going to fire anybody because this isn't about the roster. It's about Eric. He was supposed to have Team Raw beat Team SmackDown, and he was going to beat Teddy Long, and Kurt Angle was going to beat John Cena, and none of that happened. So actually, Eric is a failure. And if people think that Eric's a failure, they think Raw's a failure. And if they think Raw's a failure, they think Vince is a failure. Eric says it's not as easy as it sounds. Since 2002, he's kept Raw together. You look at the GM position of SmackDown, it's been four or five different people. And since 2002, it's just been Eric on Raw. And Eric doesn't think Vince will find anyone to replace him. And then Shane comes out. Shane says he's never liked Eric, and he's looking forward to seeing him go. So it looks like we're near the end of Eric Bischoff, and Shane McMahon's going to be taking over for him.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Boy, that really comes into fruition.
Yes.
So the first match of the night is Shawn Michaels versus Carlito. Carlito said that if he was captain of Team Raw, they would have won. So now we're having this match. Halfway through, Shawn appeared to mess up his knee a bit. Carlito baseball slid right into him. So it's not real.
Yeah.
And then on WWE Unlimited, he kept working on the knee. And then Shawn went for switching music. His knee gave out. Carlito rolled him up, but Shawn kicked out at two. He hit it holding the ropes and got the win. Smart finish.
Yeah.
Smartly put together here. I like this a lot.
Mm-hmm. Kurt Angle's in Eric Bischoff's office, and he's very upset, saying what happened to him at Survivor Series was the biggest screw job in WWE history.
Really laying it on thick there.
Because SmackDown referee Charles Robinson made the count. He was not the assigned referee. Kurt says if he doesn't get a rematch, he's going to take it out on Bischoff. Maria goes to interview Bischoff, and he's not in the mood for that, so he puts her in a match against Kurt Angle.
That was just a stupid waste of time.
Yeah, they do a whole bunch of shit that ends with Maria getting an angle slam, and then Cena comes out for the save, but Chris Masters takes Cena out, and Bischoff says the main event's going to be Angles against Masters against Cena in a no disqualification submission match. So,
oh no, the odds are against John Cena again. What is he going to do this time?
He doesn't know any submissions. He's in trouble. Mickey and Trish and Ashley are in action against Candice, Victoria, and Tori. And Mickey gets the pin with Stratisfaction. So I'm going to keep building that up.
Shane went into Bischoff's office afterwards, and he wanted to know how things were going with his goals. Eric said that they'll get them done. And Bischoff said that Shane is a member of the Lucky Sperm Club, and Shane told Bischoff to never disrespect him or his family ever again.
Yes.
Really letting out that frustration there, Easy E.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Masters told Kurt Angle that per Vince, Daivari is not the referee tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get Shelton Benjamin versus Trevor Murdoch. Trevor Murdoch won with a roll-up holding the tights. Not ideal.
No, not great for Shelton. Triple H is here. People say that he's not very compassionate, but they're wrong. Look at last night when they took Flair in the ambulance. Triple H made sure they took Rick to the best hospital in Detroit, and he got top-notch medical care, and he can watch Raw tonight on TV. Rick got to go out on top, working back-to-back pay-per-views with the greatest wrestler alive today. There's no shame in Rick losing to the best. When they let Rick out of the hospital, he should go home and not come back. Factual. Triple H did what needed to be done. No one would have had the guts to do it. There's not a man alive who will look Triple H in the eye and tell him face to face that he did the wrong thing against Flair. And then Big Show comes out and he calls Triple H a piece of shit. And Big Show wants to fight Triple H, but Triple H just kind of leaves instead. I mean, if you don't think about it, Big Show defending Ric Flair is good, but I mean, if you think about it and you remember their WCW stuff, it falls apart, but
yep. Yeah, so we go on to Kane and the Big Show versus Tom Konstantin for the World Tag Team titles, and Kane and Big Show got the win pretty easily.
Yes.
Then we move on to the WWE Championship No DQ Submission match. Triple threat between Cena, Masters, and Angle. Cena got to the ring, immediately started beating both guys up, but they got the upper hand after started going after him. Angle put Cena in the ankle lock. Masters put Cena put Angle in the master lock, rather. So Cena's out and Angle's in trouble. However, he recovers and breaks it up as Kurt is fading. The crowd must be bored because we get loud Cena sucks chants.
Mm-hmm.
And Angle broke up the master lock on Cena and put Masters in the ankle lock, which Cena broke up from the top rope and got a chair. Cena kicked him in the face, got in, hit Masters in the leg with it, and then hit him in the leg a few more times, and he put in the STF, and he won.
Yeah.
Have the debut of John Cena using the STF. What will he call
that it? That resilient John Cena, finding a way to do it again. Wonder if the FTF sticks.
Yeah.
It was a clever thing. It was like, when he broke out the STF, I was like, wow. He can add a U to the end of it and just call it the STFU. That's so fucking clever. Who came up with that? Was it Michael Hayes? I don't know. It was good. It was nice.
Yes, yeah, so Vince says next week it's time to take out the trash. That's the end of Raw. So we move on to the SmackDown special, which is a 1-hour live special from Cincinnati on Tuesday, the 29th. Booker T beat Benoit to go up 2-0. And then Rey Mysterio was in a match against Big Show that he dedicated to Eddie Guerrero and came out with Eddie's music and a lowrider. And it ends with Randy Orton coming out and putting Undertaker in the trunk of the lowrider and crashing it through the stage, and it blew up. So everyone was very upset about this because it's not in good taste.
It's really not.
It really was not.
Things will only get worse with that. So
yes, they were.
So we moved to the actual SmackDown, which was later that week, also in Cincinnati. Randy opens the show, and we look back at what he did on the SmackDown special. He says what he did to Undertaker speaks for himself. Undertaker won't rise from the ashes because Randy has killed him. Randy deserves the World Heavyweight Championship. He was the sole survivor 3 straight years, youngest world champion in history, third generation superstar. He's calling Batista out. He's demanding a World Heavyweight title match. It's not arrogance, it's destiny.
Now, did you get the chance to watch the SmackDown special?
I did. Yes.
I did as well.
It's fine.
I thought it was fun.
Yeah.
A fun little hour of wrestling.
It was all right. Yeah.
The ending was what it was. I thought, you know, that was a good effect.
It's weird that they don't even try to really explain why Big Show and Kane are there so much. I mean, it's because Batista's hurt, obviously, and they need, you know, just stars. Well, because,
you know, like, I mean, I guess I get it, but at the same time, this wasn't really when the lines weren't being blurred on WWE TV, at least.
No, and it's fine. Like you I said, clearly, shoots or whatever the hell. Clearly, yeah. SmackDown has had issues in the past couple weeks with various stars not being there anymore. Exactly. I mean, and including Kennedy, who we'll talk about in a little bit because he's hurt now.
Yep,
he is. So they're just kind of doing what they have to do.
Mm-hmm.
We get a tag team battle royal. It's all the tag teams. The winner faces Eminem at Armageddon, and the Mexicools get the victory. Midway through the match, lights started flickering, so that's spooky. And after the match, Mexicools are celebrating. Oh, no, that's next week. Never mind. JBL is teaming with Rey Mysterio tonight against Kane and Big Show. Talks to Josh Matthews about it. Then we see blood coming out of the monitor backstage. So a lot of weird stuff going on.
A lot of very weird stuff going on tonight. That is correct. So we move forward here to Chris Benoit versus William Regal. Both guys ended up bleeding, and Regal tapped out to the crossface. After the match, Benoit went after Booker, who was on commentary. Match 3 will be next week. That was fine.
Yeah.
Not to talk glowingly about Chris Benoit, they have a better match than this on Velocity the following year.
Yes. Randy tells his father that he's going to go beat Matt Hardy, and he's going to demand his title shot from Batista. If he doesn't get it, he's going to spit in Batista's face. Let me see a wall clock going crazy behind Randy. Just a lot of weird stuff going on.
Yes, a lot of weird stuff. Let me get Matt Hardy versus Randy Orton. Orton got the win afterwards. The lights went out. The gong hits. We heard the Undertaker's voice. Said he's not dead, if you can believe that. He also went on, you know, a long, tired ramble spiel. Probably entirely too long, but anyways... They're going to wrestle at Armageddon inside Hell in a Cell.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that'll go great.
It's going to go great.
So now we have a new backstage interviewer. Her name is Crystal Marshall. She's going to be a key figure on TV for the next couple of years. So
she is.
Stick around. Stick around if you're unfamiliar. She's with Simon Dean and asked if he's scared of the Boogeyman since there have been a lot of spooky things happening tonight. Says he's not and he'll be fine. He took the lid off of the tray of the Simon System products. But he was eating worms instead. How spooky.
Yeah. Yes. Then we move to Lashley against Sylvain. Not a squash, but you know, Lashley still gets the win, so kind of going a little bit longer. I don't know why it's against Sylvain that he's going longer, but you know.
Yeah. I guess fill time.
Yeah, that's fair.
Whatever. They didn't do the really long main events back then anyway. So. And then we got JBL and Rey Mysterio versus Kane, the Big Show in the main event. Late in the match, Jamie Corderas accidentally poked JBL in the eye and he left Mysterio to fend for himself. Big Show won with a choke slam as Rey can't keep up with the numbers game. And Batista came out to save Rey from further beatdown to end the show.
Yes. So that will do it for week one.
That will do it for week one. So moving on to the sports world here. This, I believe, would have been the first weekend of December. So that means in the world of college football, it is Championship Saturday. So in the ACC Championship, we had Florida State beating fifth-ranked Virginia Tech 27-22. Bit of an upset there, to say the very least. In that case, I do believe that, yep, Florida State finished 8-4. With the win, they pretty much clinched a berth in the Orange Bowl. Also, in the SEC Championship, you had Georgia beating LSU. I can't look at it right now because my computer is locked up. So please excuse me for a second here. But Georgia would have then clinched a spot in the Sugar Bowl, where I believe they're going to be facing West Virginia this year.
Yes.
And really back then, those were really the only, you know, in the Big 12 championship, we already know Texas ran over Colorado. They are going to the Rose Bowl, the national championship game, to face USC.
Yeah.
Who finished their perfect season the week prior against UCLA. So now we're only left to wonder who's going to win the Heisman Trophy.
Yes.
To this day, we still don't know because it's not occupied.
That's true.
I don't
really... Needs to be. Absolutely needs to be.
Yeah.
It does. That's true.
I don't really understand why it still isn't.
I don't understand either. It's pretty stupid, but...
NCAA, what is there to understand?
Nothing. Very true.
Yeah, so we can get back into week two here. Got the music. Dropping to number 5 with Soul Survivor. Up to number 4 from 6 is Laffy Taffy, which is going to keep climbing.
Yes.
And then the top 3 remain the same with My Homes, Gold Digger, and Run It. Your movies, Just Friends, jumps into the top 5 from number 6. Yours, Mine, and Ours goes up or goes down to number 4. Walk the Line goes down to number 3. Aeon Flux debuts at number 2, which is not a movie I really remember.
I don't think I've ever seen it, but I remember it coming out. Charlize Theron, Aeon Flux is like an old MTV anime cartoon.
Oh yeah,
that they redid. I don't think it got good reviews from what I remember.
Yeah, I mean it looks like it made $52 million and cost $55 million, so I can't imagine it was all that good.
It made 55 total.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. And then Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire stays at number 1. All right, so we got 2 news pieces here. Mr. Kennedy will miss 6 months. He has the same injury that Batista has, except they think right now his is more severe. Batista's will become more severe in about 3 weeks. But, yeah, basically just kind of tore his back muscle off the bones, which doesn't sound pleasant.
It does not.
So he'll be out for a while, which kind of the story of his career. Every time he gets something going, he either screws it up or gets hurt.
Yep.
And then Christy Hemme was released from WWE. They wanted her to go work OVW to get some more experience, and it doesn't seem like she wanted to do it. So she left, and she ends up in TNA for quite some time.
Really long time.
It worked for
her. I remember being distraught. Because 14-year-old me was in love with Christy Hemme ever since the beginning of the Diva Search. Loved Christy Hemme. Found out we had the same birthday for some strange, odd fucking reason that made me love her more. And then I was so sad to hear she had gotten released. What are we going to do without our Christy? No, we're going to be fine. We're going to be just fine. It didn't miss a goddamn beat.
Yeah. Got
Christy Hemme. You know, It worked out well because Christy had a long and prosperous career, like you just said, in TNA. Started off with like the backstage interviewer. I remember she was part of like the Rock and Rave Express.
Yes.
She was working with Billy Gunn mm-hmm. for a while too. So I think it worked out.
And then we move to, well, again, before Monday Night Football, we'll talk about the rest of the week.
Here. Yeah, the rest of week 13. Also, my mistake, USC actually beat UCLA that day on December 3rd.
Oh, there you go.
They won 66-19, if you can believe that. Villanova beat Oklahoma in basketball 85-74 off of 32 points from Randy Foy. I'm sure Villanova could have used Randy Foy today in Waco because, Jesus Christ, their offense is terrible.
They kind of
what the fuck was that? Golly. 36 points?
Yep.
Their defense that good or was their shooting that bad?
Baylor's pretty good.
Yeah, I think it's a mix of both. I mean, the college ball basketball product is pretty bad right now, unfortunately. Yeah. In terms of week 13 in the NFL, the Dolphins beat the Bills 24-23. They capped a 21-point fourth quarter off on a Chris Chambers touchdown pass from Sage Rosenfels. Chris Chambers had 15 receptions in that game against Buffalo.
Damn.
The Bears beat the Packers 19-6. They came up with four turnovers, including a late interception return for a TD by Nathan Back.
Yes, and then four field goals. All you need, man.
The Giants forced four turnovers, including a fumble return for a touchdown. And
wait, I think that was Kyle Orton's last start, right? Because the next game was the Falcon game.
Because he went 6-17.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm so glad we're out of the doldrums. Oh, as my son runs for 9 yards. I'm so happy we're past those days.
Yes.
The Giants forced four turnovers, got a fumble return for a touchdown, sacked Drew Bledsoe four times, took the NFC first place in the NFC East with a 17-10 win over Dallas. The Colts improved to 12-0 after beating the Titans 35-3. Peyton Manning threw three touchdown passes. Thanks to an overturn on replay on a 4th-and-1 that the Broncos thought they had a first down on, the Chiefs won their 17th straight game at home during the month of December, 31-27. Over Denver. And let's see what else here. Anna Vinatieri became the all-time leading scorer in Patriots history. The Patriots beat the Jets 16-3. For whatever reason, the wiki depiction says battered. I wouldn't say 13 points battering. I mean, I know the Jets didn't score a touchdown, but still.
Yeah.
And besides that, not too many other notables in the NFL.
No, so we'll move to Monday Night Football.
Did you say Drew Bledsoe was on the Cowboys?
He was. Mm-hmm. He was the QB before Romo.
Yeah, it was.
Why don't I remember this?
It was the Parcells connection. Because originally when Parcells got there, they had Quincy Carter.
Mm-hmm.
And then I
believe... Is this his first year, Parcells, 05?
This is Parcells' third year.
Parcells was there in 03?
He was. He was their coach in 03. He helped get them to 10-6. They had a wild card game against Carolina that Quincy Carter started, but they lost to the eventual
runner up. And he was there until 09, right?
He was only there through 06.
Yeah, because
Wade Phillips took over in 07.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It was Wade Phillips in between.
Yes.
Jason Garrett. Okay.
Yes, I believe Parcells brought Wade on.
Yeah.
Okay.
That would make sense because they had already had a pre-existing relationship, I believe so. Bledsoe was QB for Dallas in, I want to say, 05 and 06.
Yeah.
And I think 04 was a mix of like Hutchinson and Carter and Drew Henson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sounds right. And then the Monday Night Football game, the Seahawks beat the Eagles 42-0.
They did. They retired Reggie White's number 92 during halftime of that game.
The biggest shutout win in Monday Night Football history.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
Seattle had three defensive touchdowns.
Yeah, three turnover returns for TDs, two of them by Andre Dyson.
Yeah, and then Sean Alexander had a pair of rushing touchdowns, and Bobby Engram got a touchdown pass.
I find it funny, this wiki depiction says, and two Sean Alexander touchdowns to thrash the Beagles.
Yes.
Whoever wrote that, obviously, is not an Eagles fan.
Yeah, so Seahawks are 10-2.
They are.
Looking good.
Yeah, they are looking good. They're looking like the favorite to come out of the NFC. We will see.
Then it's time for Raw from North Charleston, South Carolina. We opened the show talking about Ric Flair's road rage arrest. He's going to be on the cutting edge tonight. I'm sure that will go well for everybody.
Yes, I'm very sure.
Vince's music hits, and he drives the garbage truck to the ring. Vince says they have a trash truck, but they're missing the trash, so he would like Eric Bischoff to come to the ring. Bischoff says it's more than a job to him. It's who he is. He wants Vince to let him keep his job. And Vince says that Eric can defend himself tonight in the trial of Eric Bischoff. Vince will be the judge. Coach will be Bischoff's defense attorney. Coach says that Bischoff's an asshole and he's not the fans' friend, but he's not paid to be their friend. He's paid to deliver the most exciting show week after week, and he's done that for 4 years. Coach will argue that not only should Bischoff keep his job, he should get a raise. And now we meet the prosecutor, and it's Mick Foley. Foley says no one's done more to benefit Raw from Eric. Eric spoiled that Mick was going to win the title, and it completely turned the Monday Night Wars around. But as a general manager, Eric was manipulative and deceitful, and Vince says the trial will continue later.
Yes, and it will continue later throughout various skits throughout the night.
Yes.
So we get a match for the World Tag Team titles in which Big Show and Kane are defending against the teams of V-Squared, Val Venus, and Viscera, the Heartthrobs, and Snitsky and Tomko, for whatever reason. Kane and Big Show won by chokeslamming and pinning one member of each team at the same time. That's pretty awesome. They're building these guys like fucking monsters.
Yeah.
I love it. I mean, they don't have any great tag team competition, but they're still building these guys up like monsters. It rules.
Mm-hmm.
Move on to court. Mick's first witness is none other than Stephanie McMahon. Stephanie says she thinks Bischoff should be removed from office, and she has a video as to why. She points out that Bischoff once sexually harassed her.
Yeah, that is true.
That is what it is. That's exactly what that was.
Yep. We go back to the arena where Mickey is facing Victoria. Candace distracts Mickey, and Victoria rolls her up for the win. So it's kind of the same stuff they've been doing.
Mm-hmm.
We go back to the trial, and Tajiri's on the stand. He says he's a huge star in Japan and ECW, but Bischoff has ignored that. Tajiri hopes that Eric does get fired. Coach said that he doesn't have any questions for Tajiri because he should get back to the arena because he's facing Triple H tonight. Coach says that was planned in advance. It wasn't a retaliation thing. The next witnesses are Mulan Mae Young. Willow probably should have been in court long before this. They do some dumb shit about the redneck triathlon from Bad Blood 2003. Just goes on too long and isn't entertaining because those two suck. Coach calls Chris Masters, who's the bailiff, to the stand. Vince overrules it because his name is actually Chris Mordesky, so it's how perjury.
How weak.
But Coach says he's got a Bischoff or a witness coming later that's going to clear Bischoff's name.
Let me get Lance Cade versus Chavo Guerrero.
Yes,
who's back as Chavo Guerrero?
Yeah,
and he won with a frog splash. That was nice.
That
was very nice.
We go back to the courtroom. Daivari said Bischoff gave him a chance, but no one else would. He gives this big impassioned thing, and Vince didn't hear it because he was listening to Ashley Simpson on his iPod, and he said she sucks. Good stuff.
Very funny. Okay, so then we get Edge for the cutting edge. Edge and Lita put themselves over for a bit. They couldn't find a guest for the show. Everyone is a coward. The guest was supposed to be Ric Flair, but he won't be on because of his legal issues. Edge went on to say that Flair really sucks for a few minutes. Entirely accurate. Edge has never been wrong.
Yeah.
And then Michael Hayes and Sergeant Slaughter come out and try to cut the segment. It's a shoot. Hayes said Edge has been disrespectful and he has no respect for anybody. And Michael Hayes said that Edge has never been a main eventer or a marquee name. He's never sold out an arena. He's never been a world champion, et cetera, et cetera. And Edge made fun of Terry Gordy for being dead.
Yeah, that's cool.
Actually did happen.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Hayes and Sergeant Slaughter, rather, both got beat up. And then Edge left. So that was a shit show.
Yeah.
They're basically trying to do the shock TV thing,
mm-hmm.
where they're trying to act like anything can happen. Anyone can come out. You know, they're defending Ric Flair because, you know, he got into a road rage incident or whatever. So
yeah,
and Edge has been, you know, the guy that they've been so, you know, sleazy with, and you know, he'll do anything, he'll say anybody's name or whatever, he'll feud with Matt Hardy, this and that. Like, it's obvious that's what they're trying to do, but I don't know if it landed necessarily. It was pretty funny, but I don't know if it landed.
You know, instead of bringing the Flair stuff into storyline, they could have perhaps held him accountable for his actions and, you know, punished him.
Well, you know,
it would have probably been the best thing to do.
Yeah, but, probably.
Triple H beat Tajiri. Coach called Simon Dean to the stand, but instead the Boogeyman showed up and ate worms as everyone just kind of looked on, didn't know what to do. Foley's final witness is Maria, who uses a bunch of big words and sounds very smart, which is a great bit.
It is. It's tremendous.
Closing arguments will continue in the arena. Speaking of in the arena, we get our main event. Shawn Michaels and Shelton Benjamin against Carlito and Kurt Angle. Shawn did a thing earlier in the show when he was kind of trying to fire up Shelton a little bit, because they're going to be partners tonight, telling him, you know, since we had our Gold Rush match, you haven't really done much. And so Shelton took that to heart. Starts getting the upper hand from, but Daivari distracts him from the outside and slows that down. And then later in the match, Shawn's going for the super kick, and Shelton tagged himself in and went for a crossbody and got rolled up. Shawn was very upset with him.
Was. Very upset with him. Triple H ran to Vince backstage. He said Bischoff was doing a good job and should stick around. He really doesn't do a bad job. But Vince said that Triple H is saying that so he can manipulate him, and he agrees. Says he'll consider it. And they did a weird, awkward thing with him and Stephanie that I truly just was.
It was supposed to be awkward.
I know. It was just, it went on too long.
Yeah.
I know why. But Jesus Christ. Mick said that it was time to take out the trash, though, and that enough is enough. Eric said Vince told him that controversy creates cash, and he's created a ton of both. He doesn't care about these people, but he cares about their money. He knows how to separate them from it, and he brings up the Elimination Chamber and that they're doing another one of those in New Year's Revolution. He said that him and Vince are a lot alike. They may be hated, but they're both respected, and they can make a fortune together. But then John Cena comes out. John asks the fans if Bischoff should be fired, and they overwhelmingly agree that he should. Vince said Bischoff was fired, and he told Cena to take out the trash. He hit Bischoff with an FU, and away he goes.
Yeah, and it's interesting. You know, I was looking a little bit, like, everyone kind of thought that Bischoff would just be back, and he never really comes back. I mean, there might be, like, an 83 weeks about what actually happened. I didn't seek that out, but just, like, in the Observer and stuff, it's like, well, it's probably an angle. He'll probably be back, but no, he's just gone, you know?
I don't think he showed up again until what, Raw? I think he's at Raw 15th, maybe. But
I think he does one thing next summer, I think, to promote his book. But that's just like a one-off thing.
That's right. Controversy Creates Cash does come out.
And next, he's the special referee in the Taboo 2, in the Cyber Sunday match.
Yes.
With Rated RKO against DX. And people thought that him coming back was going to be the reformation of the NWO. I remember I was there.
Yeah.
People were legitimately thinking that was going
to
happen.
I mean, I guess they just...
I remember.
I guess they just wanted to change, because every time you hear him talk about this, he's like, it was the funnest time of my career, because you just fly in Sunday night, go do your thing, and then you fly home Tuesday. So, yeah, I guess they just wanted to change things up a little bit. I mean, he did a good job. He's a good on-screen authority. I think they kind of ruined it a little bit this year, which we've talked about. But overall, I mean, he was...
Like I said, everything from, like, after Survivor Series 2004 till Vengeance, I would say till the week right before Cena was drafted, was the best Bischoff work that we've seen.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't always, you know, I think he always did great, but that was his peak work, where he was pissed off at Triple H and was playing everything fairly.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, honestly, from that run, he was one of the best authority figures they've ever had.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, Bischoff was an amazing authority figure. You know, when people think general managers, I think the first person we think of is Eric Bischoff, because he was the first.
Yeah.
First announced one. He did it for so long. I mean, yeah, you know, Teddy Long was there forever, but yeah, I think Bischoff, of anybody, did it as good, or if not better, than anybody else to be general manager on Raw or SmackDown. So fantastic run. I think it was a necessary run, because you know, it let fans realize there's more to Eric Bischoff than, you know, what we saw in WCW.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I think there was a little bit of a blurred line of the character, and you know, the guy who was actually behind the scenes, and you know, we really get to see that the character Eric Bischoff is fucking excellent.
Yeah.
You know, say what you want to about his business tactics or anything he did in WCW, but when he got on screen, he was a character. He understood the assignment, so to speak, and he's in the Hall. He has to be in the Hall of Fame. He got in this past year, right?
Yeah. Yes, I believe he was in one of the, because they doubled up this year, obviously with the pandemic. I think. Yeah. Yes, he was. I believe.
Yeah.
100% had to.
Yeah. Yeah, now he's just hanging out, seems happy in Wyoming or wherever the hell, and good for him. So we move to SmackDown from Columbia, South Carolina. We start with a match. JBL and Rey Mysterio. We don't always start with matches.
Usually it does happen on SmackDown, but we haven't in a bit.
JBL comes out with an eye patch because he got poked in the eye last week, really just kind of making it a whole big thing. Rey comes out with his ribs all taped up. JBL or Rey pokes JBL in the eye a few times for payback for leaving him alone. Rey goes for 619 and Orlando Jordan comes out and clotheslines him for the DQ. JBL and Orlando beat up Rey for a little bit, but Batista comes out for the save. And Teddy Long comes out. Main event. We're going to have a tag team match.
So the meme begins.
Yes. Bob Orton tells Randy that he probably shouldn't call out The Undertaker tonight, but Randy's going to do it anyway. So he goes to the ring and starts doing it. Says it's not fair that Undertaker is messing with Randy's head. Randy's music and Titantron play after he's already in the ring, but it's all spooky and distorted. Lights flicker. Randy tells Undertaker he's still not scared. Doesn't want to fight. He wants to come settle things right now. And then Undertaker's gong hits and we hear spooky voice on the PA. And Randy's on the highway to hell, per Undertaker.
And Booker T told Crystal to get the brooms out because he's going to sweep Benoit.
Hmm?
And then we get Joey Mercury versus Super Crazy. Nitro went to knock Super Crazy off the rope. However, Juventud stopped him. And then Kid Cash attacked the Mexicos alongside Eminem after the match.
Yeah. So that's exciting.
Yes.
Randy.
Super Crazy got the win, by the way. I left that small little detail out.
Randy saw Undertaker in the mirror, but he turned around and no one was there. It's always great when you can pay tribute to Hogan Warrior in WCW. Everyone loved that, so you might as well do it again.
A classic.
Yeah, it's fine. You know.
What I'm trying to say.
Boogeyman's in action against Ray Gordy. Squashes him. See Ray Gordy again in about 18 months as one half of Jesse and Festus.
Yes, correct.
So, Ray Gordy and Luke Gallows.
Yes. We get Chris Benoit versus Booker T, match 3 of 7. Benoit went for the diving headbutt, and Booker kicked out at 2. Booker tapped out after a ref bump, so it didn't count. Charmel went to hit Benoit with the chair. Benoit stopped her. Booker took the chair from Benoit and used it. And got the win to go up 3-0.
Yeah, so maybe he will sweep him.
Maybe he will. And then we get William Regal versus Bobby Lashley. Lashley won fairly easily yet again. So they are continuing to propel him upwards. And then Randy Orton and Bob Orton were heading out. Undertaker's face was on one of the monitors, and the eyes followed the two of them. And their car drove away with no one in it. Josh Matthews went to interview them, but he was possessed by the Undertaker. How
very
scary.
Very spooky. It's time for the main event. JBL and Orlando Jordan against Batista and Rey Mysterio. JBL fakes a knee injury and kind of leaves Orlando to fend for himself, which he is unable to do. And Rey and Batista get the victory. And they will also be facing Kane and Big Show at Armageddon. So that'll be fun. And that was SmackDown.
It was. Who are our Kings of the Ring?
Well, we got 2 weeks. I don't think anyone won a title, so that takes that out.
Right.
It might be Kane and Big Show. I mean, they looked really good in both times.
Let's go Kane and Big Show.
They're clearly big players. Yeah, Kane and Big Show.
Yeah, let's go Kane and Big Show. I don't think we have anything else before we get up out of here, so we can say Avita Zane. And Merry Christmas. We won't be back until after Christmas because they got some recap shows coming up, so we can just all relax for the holiday. And yeah, go Bears. At Cameron Santos, where you can find me. You can find Rob at RobO'Neill31. Chris is at Chris of Novak. At BarbersChairNet on Twitter and Instagram. Facebook.com/BarbersChairDigital. enjoy your holiday, enjoy the wrestling, enjoy the recap shows, enjoy the food, enjoy the family, the basketball, all of it, man. It's a wonderful time. Thank you for joining us, Ruthless Aggression. We are out. See you guys later.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.